Synarctus.
Oh, Synarctus. Okay, all right. I see that. Synarctus.
So, yeah, really.
So it's curled up just like that. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. So what's that dog doing in there? This raccoon dog.
Good question.
Nibbling?
Well, there's a couple different ways you can interpret that, right? It's all down to the timing. Is this a dog that dug down in because there's some tasty rhinos and got caught? Is this a dog that died around the same time? We don't think it was the same as the combative mammoths crushing a coyote. There's no evidence that it was killed by the rhinos, but it's difficult, a little difficult to tell.
And tell me your name again.
Daniel George.
Daniel George. Mm-hmm. You got two first names.
Well, if you count my Daniel name, George. Technically I have four first names, but okay. Yeah.
So, Daniel, you're doing education here, right?
I'm the educator here, yeah. I do the virtual tours. We have virtual tours for schools.
Online stuff.
We connect via Zoom, and it's live video chat. So I would kind of give an orientation of the site, and then I would go into the ash bed and show them some of the skeletons.
You're walking down in there?
Yep, I walk down in there very carefully, of course.
Yeah.
And they get kind of a behind the scenes look because there are some skeletons that are like way down deep in there that you can't see from the boardwalk, but I would point the camera at some of them and the kids would be able to see them.
What's the hit here? What's the thing the kids or the adults, whatever, what's the hit? So Shane is leading me down there too?
Shane is leading you to that mother beast.
Okay. This is the sad scene, right?
Yeah, this is the sad scene. I mean, this is kind of what brings home these animals. You know, we're social right next to each other, but you have a mother rhino right here that we call Sandy, her whole skeleton. And then this is presumed to be her calf that's up here, nose to nose.
Oh, wow. All right.
With the mother upon death. So they were together.
This is what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty sad when you think about this. All these animals died, but here's the young with the mom together.
Locked this is Sandy. What's the baby's name?
Is Justin.
Justin, do you know it's a male?
No, not for sure. No, but you know, each of these, you know, with them, we see names on each of these. Whoever found it got to name the individuals. These were,
I see. So unlike, it had nothing to do with any.
And yeah, so unlike like when we go out and find normal fossils, we might find a bone here or there. It's just individual bones, but here we have actual individuals. So this is more like a cemetery. So if you go into the cemetery, you'd have the headstone. So, you know, this is one animal, everything in the skeleton, you know, from tip of the nose, tip of the tail is preserved.
Justin is clearly kind of embracing mom, right? I mean,
yeah,
right there.
Absolutely.
And then, but they didn't die alone.
Well, and that's another way in which it's like Pompeii, is that a lot of times you might find a bone or even a whole complete mammal somewhere, but you don't necessarily know much about their context. So if you were to go grave rob someone in Italy, you might learn something about them, like we do. And I don't want to do too much of the comparison with grave robbing because digging up.
Well,
these
you did that. I didn't do that. But okay.
Well, but go just continue.
Okay.
But the point is, if you see that isolated skeleton, you might not know much about where they are and where they live. But what's part of so moving about Pompeii is that you see these people in their context too. So you know that they lived in that neighborhood and they ate at the bread store down the street that you can see. And they drank water from that fountain that you can now walk by and see the mosaics. And so for the rhinoceros families that lived here, we know that they're standing in a water hole that they lived in or at least visited, and they were neighbors, comfortable or otherwise, with the horse that's laying down among them.
I see there's a horse right there by Sandy and Justin.
And Justin probably scampered around and scared off the cranes that now lay underneath him. And it's just, to me, really moving to see this as a community that they were part of, as well as something about the animals themselves.
Pre-ice age, so it's still relatively warm.
Oh, yeah. And by finding the giant tortoises in this time frame, we know there probably wasn't freezing temperatures, or if it got close to freezing, it was like maybe a day or two. So so it was, yeah, pretty warm. You know, all the skin had to be on these animals when they were buried below the surface, all the muscle. And then, yeah, there's a good example of a femur that was drug off another carcass and then laid right on top of the head of that rhino. Here's a baby rhino where you got...
You had to have something big do that.
Yeah, exactly. Here, how about this one over here where you get the vertebra of the lower back and pelvis that's ripped off of, and the skeleton's ripped off of.
Can you actually tell the individual it came from? Like it was ripped off?
There's two of them here that are both missing that chunk. So there's number four right here. Its head is underneath that pedestal. We stopped digging because there's a piece of a pelvis right there. And so its head is hiding there. Front legs, front ribs, back legs are there. Even the tailbones are in place. But the posterior vertebrae and the hips are missing.
So what portion are they chewing and dragging off?
Is they're just dragging off pelvis, lower back. So pelvis, a lot of butt tissue right there, a lot of muscle in that hind quarter.
Is that like the brisket or what? What cut is that on a cow?
Rump roast.
Yeah,
some tenderloin in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Tenderloin?
Tenderloin, right along.
We had filet mignon the other night. Where would that come from, the filet mignon on a rhino? Yeah. Right there. All right, so they're going, Joe. Okay.
Yeah, these are some fancy dogs. But it also raises the question of, you know, how rotten is too rotten to really be worth the effort? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it meant that this was still a tough place to live a year down the line or 5 months down the line. And so this was what was keeping those carnivores going. It got grosser and grosser as time went on and that maceration continued, but they could make it work.
The marrow would have kept them going. You know, they could crack open the leg bones or ribs and... Mm-hmm. And derive all the nutrition that they needed from their meals.
Which does sort of raise the question, too, about that Synarctis. I mean, if it's not able to get its normal crop moving the year forward from whenever this happened, of berries or whatever invertebrates it normally would catch, maybe it's still trying to suffer through chewing on, because it probably couldn't break through rhino-sized bones. Maybe mm-hmm. it was trying to survive, and that's part of why we find them having passed away in their dens, as opposed to, if that's what happened, as opposed to the biggest ones who could crack a rib. And
where are the big cats?
That's one of the most wanted things. As far as I'm aware, we have no evidence
of cats.
Of giant...
No kitties?
No, well, they wouldn't be true cats, but we have no evidence I'm aware of.
Those fake cats, those Nimravids rascals? Is this the time of the Nimravids?
This is the time of the Nimravids, yep.
Well, we're driving back. Sun is going down. I've had my mind blown today. But all right, here's the question I have to ask you guys. If you could time travel, I'll start with you, Ash. If you could go back in time, what exquisite era, what exciting epoch, what luscious period would you want to go back to? What do you want to see?
So presuming that I get a return ticket and all the equipment I need to survive and the point of destination.
Perhaps.
Now the obvious answer based on our conversations today is it would be really neat, although sad, to see the Ashfall event take place. However, since that's a little bit the obvious answer, I'll try to say something a little different.
Yeah, I want to know from you. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see, and I know this is a different podcast, but we can come back to this if you want. I'd love to see some of my other study systems to see the coastal California ecosystem from a whale watching trip, but 4 million years in the past would be incredible to get to see that warmer water with crazy warm water walruses, tiny whales, diving penguin-like birds that have long been extinct from our part of the continent. I think that would be a spectacular place to go. And I think it'd be pretty relaxing to be on the boat and just take it in.
So you're really kind of a marine mammal kind of guy. Landlocked for the present.
The present, a little landlocked.
But No, that's cool. No, it's an open question. So that's cool. That's an interesting vision. There'd be big sharks around too, of course.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I can give you 15 answers here. I could tell you about, I wanted to see the feathered dinosaurs. But
we'll stick to
San Diego.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Shane, over to you. You can time travel back. Only one. Give me a choice. Anything. Doesn't have to anything to do with rhinos. Whatever. Where does Shane want to go? And what does he want to see?
I think it'd be really interesting to go back into the Pleistocene, the late Pleistocene, just to see like the mammoths, mastodons, see the glacier covering eastern Nebraska. It's maybe, you know, mile thick, and just see some of those ice age predators like Smilodon,
Entheratrox, Bisonlatifrons, Arctotis. Arctotis was the
Trumpy's bear.
Yeah, and see the sloths on the landscape. See what the mosaic of the landscape habitats look like in order to support all those animals, which had definitely different diets. What did that look like? And so just to see, yeah, caribou roaming around in basically the Nebraska-Kansas border along with the muskox, and see maybe one of those being chased, maybe killed by, you know, a short-faced bear would be pretty interesting. As long as I'm safe and inside a cage that I'm not the one being eaten. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's hard to pick, right?
Yeah, it's hard to pick.
Any environment, any place.
Woo! Yeah.
I want to stand on the moon, and I want to watch the comet hit the Earth and just wait for the bits of dinosaur flaming up above the atmosphere to land in the moon next to me.
I want to be there when the first Tiktaalik crawls ashore and I gaff him, throw him back in. So
it's a bad idea. That. Don't do it.
All right. Well, here, actually, we usually do end the show. So there's the time travel question. David, you're not here to ask the big heavy question. And I know this is a lot. I've recorded a lot of stuff today, but it was an experience. It was kind of an emotional experience. I did, you know, I mean, I think I had to go there to see it, right? I mean, I saw the rhinos stacked up in the back room at the museum there, Morrill Hall, you know, the incredible museum. But walking into that space today, seeing just this field, this moment, this tragic moment. But Ash, let me ask you, in the big scheme of things, why is it relevant? Why is paleontology relevant? What is something like today's experience? If there's a bigger lesson to be learned walking in, I know we were talking about you got to be prepared for the volcanoes to blow, but what's a takeaway thought for being at Asheville?
So there are certainly scientific reasons why studying special sites like these are a worthwhile endeavor and need to be done continuously. And there are certainly educational reasons for the interns, for the visitors, to connect with that scientific work and try to understand why we are out there doing the work that we do to understand and document the history of life on Earth. But I actually want to answer in a different direction, which might be a little bit weird for some paleo nerds out there. I actually think the emotional connection that you can make at Asheville, and you can start to see at other fossil sites, and when you think about other fossil localities, is even more important. We have a planet where going somewhere natural and observing natural animal, even plant behavior and ecology is increasingly difficult, both because we've affected the landscape so much and because people's lives are busy. It's hard to do. And so anything that makes you even have a glimmer of understanding or a flash of insight into the depth of history and the number of endless stories that we are all caught up in, whether we recognize that day to day or not, might help us to have a deeper relationship with the Earth and might help us to preserve it for ourselves and our kids' kids. So that to me is what's most important about this, is that there are a million hidden stories and Asheville just happens to be a brightly illustrated page from that book.
And that is kind of what I was fishing for. So thanks for that. And thanks to all of you for dragging the old troll along, feeding him properly with the cheeseburger and getting coffee in the morning and driving me all the way for a truly extraordinary experience in a really special day here on the planet in November of 2024. Over and out. Back to you, Dave. Well, what'd you think, man?
Well, again, I wish I was there, but I'll tell you that those, the mother and the baby, nose to nose.
Yeah, it really
was. It a baby and a mother?
Yeah, it was, dude.
Oh, it's my God.
Ash, actually, Pyles was along, but it was Shane.
Yeah,
Tucker.
What's the odds that the guy's name is Ash and you're going to Asheville?
I know, that was weird. It felt very weird. 2 days in the car and Ash without a third Dave there. But Shane Tucker had told me this story. We were in a bar in Seattle a year and a half ago at the Fossil Prep Museum and having a number of drinks, and he was telling me about the saddest fossil in the world. And I finally saw it. And you know what, Dave? It really is moving. I mean, I choked up when I saw that. And when I had that kind of Pompeii Herculaneum moment, you know, when I saw, and when I was at Herculaneum and I saw the skeletons, it just came it right back. But it was very powerful being at the this acres of bones. And then outside the barn, there's more bones. And then there's elephants below and elephants above, too. Weird, like, where'd the elephants go?
And
where
the dog tracks.
The dog tracks.
The way they found those, the Borophagus?
Borophagus.
Borophagus. Thanks for correcting me yet again. These are bone-crushing dogs. But what was interesting is they had to use a scalpel to remove this layer of algae in order to release these dog tracks that haven't been seen the light of day for millions of years.
It was so cool. And that was a Thursday afternoon. This animal had walked through, chewed on a few carcasses here and there, pooped because there's coprolites all over the place.
Yeah.
And then
and you know what was crazy was the crime scene. Right? Here's a chunk that was picked up and eaten here and moved there. And it was really almost a forensic window into
it is.
A bunch of scavenging happening after these poor rhinos died.
And there's a sequence of the dying. The smaller animals first, the medium-sized animals, and these big-lunged rhinos and stuff, they're the ones, the last ones to die. But
that's crazy.
Slow and miserable death. And actually, it was long enough, prolonged enough that there's actually damage to the bones. So, which I saw.
Oh,
so, but
really?
From the ash. Oh, yes, breathing in the ash.
Was it within days? Did I miss that?
It wasn't within days. It kind of went on for maybe weeks because it was enough damage being done.
Okay.
That they were, it was actually their bones.
The bodies were trying to heal, but
obviously
they couldn't.
But the bones, and so they have stacks of these, I mean, literally a warehouse back in Lincoln of just, you needed some teleosteris bones, they've got them.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
So amazing stuff.
Funny about this episode, I edited on the plane returning from Bozeman, Montana, and the day before, which is 2 days ago, I was driving through the Lamar Valley in Yellowstone, right? Where the super volcano, which spewed its ash that covered these rhino, went off.
And that's what struck me, too, when I was there. It's like, holy cow, if that ever blows again. But this was the preserved spot. It is going to. And this spot was one of the few places where all that was, you know, intact. So you have to imagine that the entire Midwest was covered with this stuff.
Was covered in ash,
You know, so.
That's crazy. And hopefully we're going to hear our brand new outro from our social media master, Ashley Hall. Yeah, she's recording one as we speak, which will be on the end of this episode.
Excellent. All right, cool.
Guess who knows Ash real well?
Ashley.
Ashley.
Wow. Wait, that's
another
there's a
ash.
Layer of ash. Another layer of ash to the Ashley.
All right.
Ash and
over
ash
and ash and ash. California,
ashes
Ray.
To ashes and dust to dust, Dave. I'm out of here from beautiful Ketchikan, Alaska, where it's about 45 degrees today.
See ya. See ya.
Thanks for being a paleo nerd. Help us spread the word of science. Rate us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky. You can even email your questions and comments to nerds@paleonerds.com. Did you know that each episode is paired with photographs and links? Check out paleonerds.com for photographic evidence that everyone here has been a paleo nerd for a long, long time.
I'm a paleo nerd. I'm a paleo nerd. I'm a paleo nerd.
Wind's starting to pick up a little bit out there, at least here in Sandpoint. I'm sure it's blowing everywhere else. But up there in Dillingham, things are starting to heat up a little bit. We've got the Lady Eagles coming up. They're going to be playing for third place, and they'll be going up against the Unalaska Raiders. After that, T-Jacks square off for their third place bid, where they will be playing against, I'm trying to find this one here, Kinko versus also the Unalaska Raiders. Is that correct? I believe T-Jacks and the Lady Eagles both play Unalaska for third place. That's going to be 3 o'clock coming up now in just a few minutes. The last game ended a little late, so we're waiting for Rivera Wilson to go live with the Lady Eagles versus the Lady Raiders of Unalaska. Immediately following that game, around 4:30, we'll have the T-Jacks squaring off for third place against the Unalaska Raiders. And then 7:30 tonight, Sam Point will go for the first place trophy. It'll be their third matchup against the Dillingham Wolverines. They'll play against the home team to see who can take home gold. Just a few minutes out from Lady Eagles versus Unalaska in their third place competition. Stay tuned here to KSDP. It's live. The girls are on the court. Let's go now to Rivera Wilson with the play-by-play.
Lady Eagles will get the or Unalaska will get the tip. At the wing, gonna dribble up top and then to the other wing, passing it back up top, up for three, no good, Misty will come down with the board. Whitney's gonna find Mia down low, passing it back out to Whitney. Char up top. She's gonna drive, passing it down to Mia, Mia for two and it's good. You're gonna have it at the wing to high post, then up top she's gonna drive, puts it up for two, no good. You can see offensive rebound, passing it down low, she's gonna put it up for two and it's good. Oh shoot, I definitely said New Stu is playing Sandpoint in the description. I meant Unalaska. Unalaska will have possession. And that'll be a travel on Unalaska. Whitney's gonna have it up top. Hands it off to Precious. Then to Mia at high post, she's gonna drive. Hands it off to Whitney. Whitney for two, and it's good. It'll be Unalaska ball. Gonna pass it at high post. She's gonna drive, and that'll be a double dribble on Unalaska. Whitney to Precious, Precious in the corner. And Unalaska's gonna get the steal. And that'll be a foul on Precious, I believe.
You can't run to the person you pass to.
Or no, that'll be a foul on Misty. That'll be your first. It'll be Unalaska ball. She's gonna have it at the wing. Passing it down low in the corner, up for three. No good. Misty will get the rebound. Passing it to Char. Char to Whitney. Pass will be too strong. Whitney will lose it out of bounds. It'll be Sandpoint ball. I mean, Unalaska ball.
Get around her. Get around her.
She's gonna have it at the wing, then up top, back to the wing. Gonna swing it to the corner, then down low, and that'll be a foul on Sandpoint. Unalaska will inbound on their side baseline. Puts it over two, no good. Offensive rebound, put back, no good. Precious will grab the board. Whitney's gonna drive, puts it up for two, no good.
Box out.
And Unalaska will come down with the rebound. Passing it to the wing, then down low. Then up top. That'll be a travel on Unalaska. It'll be Sandpoint ball. Sandpoint at four, Unalaska at two. About 4 minutes left to go in the first. Precious is gonna drive. Send it out to Misty. To Mia. Unalaska with the deflection on the pass. Sandpoint still with possession. Precious for three. And she hits it. Sandpoint at seven now. Unalaska two. Gonna pass it a high post. Precious almost with the steal. And she saves it from going out of bounds. Misty will grab it. Passes it off to Whitney. Whitney to Mia.
Nice.
To Misty up for two. No good. Unalaska will get the rebound. Mia rips it right out of her hands. Puts it back up. No good. Unalaska will get the rebound.
Turn around.
She's going to have it up top. Passing it to the wing. She's going to put it up for three. No good. On Alaska's offensive rebound, and that'll be a jump. It will go to Sandpoint. Whitney's gonna hand it off to Precious. Precious drives, loses the ball out of bounds. It'll go to Unalaska. Gonna have it at the wing. It's a high post. She's gonna pass it out to the corner and she's gonna throw the ball away. That'll be an over and back. On Alaska, it'll be Sandpoint ball. 2.5 left to go in the first. Sandpoint up by 5, 2-7. Char's gonna have it up top. Passing it off to Whitney.
Nice.
To Mia down low. Mia out to Whitney. Whitney for three, no good. On Alaska will get the rebound. Have it up top, swinging it to the wing. Back up top. To the wing, and then down low. She's gonna put it up for two, no good. Unalaska will get the offensive rebound. Unalaska for three, and she hits it. Sandpoint will not have possession. Passing it down low. Mia puts it up for two, it gets blocked. Unalaska now with the ball. She's gonna have it at the wing, passing it to high post. Gonna dribble out, passing it to the corner, and then back up top. Down low, puts it up for two, and it's good. Score now tied at 7 with a minute left to go in the first. Precious with the ball, passing it to me at the wing. Odalaska's going to get the steal. She's going to pass it down, puts it up for two, and it's good. Misty's going to have it up top. Swings it to Precious. Precious for three, and it's good. And Onalaska, I mean, Sandpoint will lead by one, 10-9.
Number two.
Number two for three. In and out. Puts it back up, no good. And that'll be the end of the first. Sandpoint at 10, Onalaska at 9.
Close matchup here in this third place game. Sandpoint going against the Onalaska Lady Raiders. Sandpoint up by 1, 10-9 going into the second quarter. Let's give a shout out to one of our sponsors. Thank you to the Shumigan Corporation for being the good steward of the land.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Shumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Shumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.shumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Big thank you to you, the listener, for always being there and tuning in, whether it's on Facebook or on the radio. We're going back live for the second quarter action. Sandpoint up by one in the third place competition against the Onalaska Raiders.
It'll be Onalaska ball at the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second.
There you go, Misty. Cut her off. Keep working.
They're going to have it up top, passing it to the wing, back up top, swinging it to the other wing. She's going to put it up for three. No good. Misty will get the rebound. Passing it to Whitney. Whitney for three, and it's good. Oh, long two. My bad. And Onalaska will have possession. They're going to have it at the wing. Back up top. Going to pass it down low, puts it up for two, short, gets her own rebound, back up, and it's good. Sandpoint with a one-point lead, 12-11, 7 minutes left in the second. Precious going to have it at the wing, hands it off to Mia, Mia to Shar. Whitney and Mia down low. Whitney puts it up for two, and it almost goes in. Onalaska will get the rebound. She's going to have it at the wing. Swings it back up top. And that'll be a travel on Onalaska. It'll be Sandpoint ball. Whitney's going to have it up top. Passing it to Misty at the wing. The Precious down low. She's going to dribble out to the corner. To Mia, almost loses the ball. Hands it off to Shar. Passing it to Misty. Misty's going to drive. Buzz it up for two, and she gets fouled on the drive. Misty will be at the free throw line shooting two. First shot's no good. Second shot short. Unalaska will come down with the rebound. Unalaska's gonna throw the ball away, and that'll be an over and back. And it'll be 7-point ball near half court. Charlotte's gonna drive, gonna pass it out to Misty in the corner. Back to Precious.
Oh, got it right.
To Mia in the corner. Mia to Misty down low. Hands it off to Charlotte. Precious, Precious for three, and it's good. Point now up by 4, 15 to 11. 4 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in the second. Unalaska with possession up top. Passing it to the wing, and that'll be out of bounds on the Raiders. And it'll be standpoint ball near half court.
Brother.
Whitney's gonna drive. She's gonna put it up for two. No good. Precious with the rebound. Precious up for three. Too much of a powerful shot to Whitney. Whitney for three. Short. Unalaska with the rebound.
Low, watch low.
The Raiders are gonna have it at the wing.
Double.
Passing it down low. She's gonna put it up for two. No good. And fighting for the ball on the floor, and that'll be a travel on Precious. The Unalaska ball on their side. Gonna pass it to the wing, back up top. To the other wing, and then the corner, corner three. No good.
Dribble.
Precious drives, puts it up for two. No shot. That'll be an offensive foul on Sam Point. That'll be Mia's first foul. Is gonna have it at the wing, passing it up top, and Missy's gonna get the steal. She's gonna drive up for two, and it's good. Now 3 minutes left in the second. Sam Point up by 6, 11-17. On Alaska, possession at the wing to the corner. Passing it down low, puts it up for two, and it's good. And that'll be a timeout for Unalaska. Sam Point at 17, Unalaska 13, 2 minutes 46 left to go in the sixth. pass it to Charlotte. Charlotte to Misty in the corner, hands it off, passes it to Whitney. On Alaska with the deflection on the pass. Sandpoint still with possession. Charlotte's going to have it up top. Passing it to Precious. Movement. That'll be out of bounds on Unalaska, and Sandpoint will keep the ball on their side. They're going to inbound baseline, I mean sideline. Whitney's going to catch it behind the half court line. Unalaska with the deflection of the pass, Sandpoint still with possession. Whitney to Precious. Turns it off to Char at the wing. Back to Precious. Precious at the wing. They're gonna pass it down low, and Alaska's gonna get the steal.
Corner! Corner!
Passing it in the corner. She's going to drive baseline, and Misty will tip it out of bounds. Unalaska will have the ball on their side baseline. And Sandpoint will get the steal. Passing it down to Misty. Misty hands it off to Mia. Up for two, no good. Misty put back, and it's good. Unalaska's gonna have it at the wing. Back up top. To the wing, up for three. No good. Misty will come down with the rebound, passing it to Charlotte. Charlotte to Whitney. Little under a minute left to go in the second. Gonna have it at the wing. Precious passing it to Misty. Almost gets the ball stolen. Whitney for two, no good. Mia's gonna get the rebound. Dribble out. Passing it to Precious. Precious three, no good. Unalaska will come down with the board. Unalaska having it down low. Mia gets the block. And Charlotte's gonna have it. She's gonna put it up for two. Too heavy off the backboard.
Mia!
Alaska's gonna have it at the wing, passing it up top. Swing it to the wing, up for three. No good. Misty will let it go out of bounds. 3.5 seconds left in the second. Sandpoint ball. Misty passing it right to Unalaska. She's gonna put up a shot, and that'll be heavy off the backboard, and that will be the end of the first half. The Sandpoint at 19, Unalaska 13. We'll be back in 10 minutes for the second half. Broadcast and play-by-play brought to you by KSDP. Charlotte's going to drive. She's going to pass it up.
Big shout-out to all the students who've been bringing us play-by-play up there in Dillingham for the last 2 weeks, doing outstanding work. I mentioned it last night, but I have been hearing, or maybe it's this morning, I mentioned it this morning that I've been hearing nothing but great words about our students and their play-by-play from everyone, and a big thank you to all that they're doing. We're going to say thanks to a sponsor or two, and then we're going to cut over to some music as we wait for 10 minutes when we'll have the second half. Lady Eagles are up by 6, I believe, 19-13 against Unalaska in the third place matchup. Here's a thank you to our sponsors.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Thank you to all of our sponsors, Eastern Lutheran Tribes as well, for their support, and everyone who makes KSDP happen by taking advantage of the programming, whether it's on the air, by terrestrial means, here at Sandpoint, 8:30 a.m. KSDP, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM False or Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutane, Alaska, or if you're listening to us online, apradio.org or on Facebook. Sorry, I don't think I ever coughed on the air like that. We're going to have the Board of Fish Means coming up here soon. We'll keep those on the air and keep you updated about all the news. But I wanted to let you know, if you're listening right now, you can have your voice heard, even if you're just a community member. And I say just a community member, I mean as opposed to a fisherman. You can have your voice heard. There are some propositions at the Board of Fish this year that would have a dramatic impact on the fisheries in Area M. Go to our website, apradio.org, and check out the community window page. We have a link where you can have your public testimony submitted, but you got to do it by February 3rd. So again, go to apradio.org and hop on the community window spot and find our post where we have a place for you to get your voice heard. I might go ahead and pin it on Facebook, pin it on the website and on Facebook so people can get to it. But get your public testimony in there. Get your voice heard. Going to play a newer song by Taylor Swift. Here's The Fate of Ophelia off of her newest album.
Because you came for me. All that time.
There you go. Off her new album, I think, The Life of a Showgirl, Taylor Swift with The Fate of Ophelia. You're listening here to KSTP. We've got live basketball. It's the Lady Eagles up against the Lady Raiders of Unalaska, playing for third place at the AML Classic up in Dillingham. Lady Eagles holding on strong 19-13. We'll see what happens here as we hop into the third quarter. Rivera Wilson giving us a play-by-play live over there. Big shout-out to Rivera and Mia, Fanny Joe, and all the students who've been doing a great job. We'll go ahead and play one more song while we wait. Here's Havana by Camila Cabello. Hey.
Traffic jam, man. I was quick to pay that girl like Uncle Sam. Here you go, ayy. Bring it on me, ayy. Try to crave it on me, get the beating on me, on me. She waited on me, yeah. Well, try to cake it on me, got the bacon on me. Bring it down. This is history and I'm making homie. On me. Point blank, close range, that beat. If it goes a million, that's me. It's me. I was getting moolah, baby.
Havana, Havana. Hey. Half of my heart.
Back live over to the Lady Eagles in Dillingham, where it's third quarter action. Sandpoint up by 6 against Unalaska.
Unalaska's gonna get the steal. Passing it down. Sandpoint almost gets the steal. Unalaska puts it up for 2. No good. Misty will get the defensive rebound. Passing it down to Whitney. Whitney to Charlotte back. Charlotte puts it up for 2 and it'll get blocked. Unalaska now possession. Puts it up for 2 and it's good. That'll bring Unalaska to 15 points and points out 19. Precious for 2 and it's good.
Defense! Defense! Defense!
On the last go, the ball defense! Up top. Passing defense! It back to the wing.
Defense! Defense!
So high post to the other wing.
Defense!
Back up top.
Defense!
The wing up for 3, short. and Unalaska put it back up, no good. Oh my gosh, that looks so good.
Thank yes.
you. Well, you're in my way. Let me hold that. Yes, please. Unalaska's gonna, Sandpoint's gonna inbound it. Unalaska's gonna steal it. Passing it right to Whitney. Whitney's gonna get the steal. She's gonna throw it out of bounds, trying to pass it to Misty. Unalaska's gonna pass it down low, puts it up for two, it'll be short, gets her own rebound, put back, and it's good. Unalaska's gonna get the steal, saves it from going out of bounds. Mia will pick it up, hands it off to Whitney, to Precious, and then Garland to Precious. Unalaska will get the steal down low. Pass is going to be too high for Unalaska, and it'll go out of bounds. It'll be Sandpoint ball. Dantes and the Lady Eagles are going to call a timeout. Sandpoint at 21, Unalaska 17, 5 minutes and 46 seconds left to go in the third. It'll be Sandpoint ball at the end of the timeout. Gonna pass it into Whitney. Whitney throwing the ball. It'll be out of bounds on Unalaska. It'll be Sandpoint ball. Precious is gonna have it up top. A little struggle looking for a pass. Hands it off to Mia. Misty and Unalaska will get the steal. Unalaska for three. No good. Unalaska will get the rebound, and that'll be a foul off the rebound, and it'll be a Sandpoint ball. Unalaska's gonna get the steal off the inbound. They're gonna put it up for two, heavy off the backboard. Unalaska tries going for the offensive rebound. It'll go out of bounds on that. It'll be 10.